blessed Resurrection Day to all of you. Thank you for joining us on this glorious day. Isn't this a wonderful day God has given us to celebrate his resurrection? I'd invite you to turn to our gospel on this Resurrection Day from Mark chapter 16. If you don't have a Bible of your own, grab the one in the pew rack in front of you, and you'll find that on page 1014. And I'd encourage you to keep that open as I will be going right through verse by verse this gospel text. There is also an outline on the back of your bulletin that you can follow along so I can keep from losing you along the way. Mark 16, beginning with verse 1. When the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Let us pray. Well, Heavenly Father, help us to truly hear this good news that Christ, our Lord, is risen. He has conquered death. And Father, no matter what we go through in this life, may we have the confident assurance that you are with us, that you've promised never to leave us, never to forsake us. And Father, may the good news, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, fill us with joy and confidence this day. In Jesus' name, amen. A quick glance at the newspaper or a quick scroll through your news feed or just a few minutes sitting watching the evening news will convince you that there is much to be alarmed about in our world right now. There are wars and threats of wars which breed fear and uncertainty. Our country's polarized politics and positions create deep distrust and instability. And you can go and look about the furor over just today, what's happening politically in the news, and be distressing. Having survived one pandemic, we keep a wary eye on outbreaks of diseases in distant corners of the world that might cause another. But today we heard the word of an angel to a group of terrified and troubled women. Do not be alarmed. Do not be alarmed. And that's the theme of our message this morning. That is the truth that I believe God wants us to grab hold of. The women were alarmed at what they unexpectedly encountered. The huge stone flung back and the presence of a young man in an elegant white robe. The Greek word for alarmed conveys strong emotion and is used only in Mark in the New Testament. This verb expresses overwhelming distress. But no matter how distressing or how terrifying or troubling our world is at this time, we need to hear those calming words of the angel. And it was an angel, as we are told in the other accounts of that first resurrection morning. We need to hear the words of the angel and the reason behind those words and take hope in the assurance of what God has done and what God is doing even now. Do not be alarmed. Those women on that first resurrection morning heard the most astonishing and life-changing news possible. You seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He is risen. Those words ring true today and can be heard with even greater assurance and certainty by us right now, because we know, for those of you who remember Paul Harvey, the rest of the story. We have the witness of the apostles, how they went from cowering in fear to fearlessly proclaiming Jesus, even when threatened with imprisonment and death. It has been nearly 2,000 years since these women, since the disorienting discovery by these women. But this truth rings out with ever greater power and clarity. He is risen. Oh, you could respond to that. He is risen. Amen. Many skeptics have tried to disprove the resurrection of Jesus, only to encounter the living Lord, like former Chicago Tribune investigative reporter Lee Strobel, or cold case detective J. Warner Wallace. And even as they tried to disprove the resurrection, they were convinced that they'd have to have more faith not to believe this than to believe it, taking this just as objective truth. And even the fact that it was women who were the first to witness the resurrection of Jesus or to meet him and to proclaim this good news was in fact part of the evidence, because women at that time, and not to denigrate the testimony of women, but in that time, their testimony was not admissible in a court of law. And if they were just making this story up, that's not the way they would have done it. But let's revisit the tomb with these women early that first resurrection day. They were filled with grief and despair, and their minds were focused on an impossible barrier. An impossible barrier. Look at verses 1 and 2 of our text. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had gone at the first opportunity to complete the embalming of their beloved Jesus, their master. Their hearts were filled with grief. They were faced with what seemed immovable obstacles, not the least of which was a stone that they could not roll away. Verse 3 says, and they were saying to one another, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? They faced an impossible barrier to their goal of paying their final respects to their master and Lord. Their collective strength would not even be able to budge this huge stone that blocked the entrance. And so, in the words of one commentator, they worried themselves along on the way to the cemetery. They worried themselves along. Who will roll away the stone? The huge stone was not only a supposed barrier to their goal of anointing Jesus, but it would have kept them from receiving the good news of Jesus' resurrection. But God had already taken that obstacle out of the way. Verse 4, and looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And the stone had been more More literally, from the Greek language, especially Richard Lenski will say, it wasn't just rolled back, it was tossed aside by a strength that is far greater than any human ability. God is in the business of removing obstacles to our hope and joy. He doesn't necessarily take away our alarming circumstances, but promises to be with us in those distressing situations, giving us hope and strength and peace and even joy. God is in the business of removing our barriers to hope and joy. Jesus said in John 16:33, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world, Jesus said. Everything the women encountered distressed and alarmed them. But then they received incredible news. Verse 5 and 6, and entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. The news was too good to be true. Was Jesus alive? Resurrected? His body transformed, never to die again? The angel pointed them to the proof. The women were directed to see the place where they laid him. What they saw was not just the absence of the body, but the presence of the grave clothes, linen cloths that had bound the body of Jesus, had been wrapped around him at his burial. And these linen cloths, now depressed like a empty cocoon sitting there undisturbed on the slab of stone in that tomb, and the head covering laying to the side. This is what Peter and John discovered upon their own inspection of the gravesite, as recorded in John chapter 20, verses 6 and 8. If someone had taken the body of Jesus, they could not have done so without disturbing the cloth that had swaddled his corpse. Jesus' resurrected, transformed body passed right through those grave clothes and right through the sealed rock tomb. They knew that in that instance that it was all true. And finally, this incredible news came with an insistent command. Verse 7, but go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. The angel not only had information to impart, but instructions to give. Go, tell. This was not just a suggestion. The women were not given a non-optional command. The Greek words convey an insistent urgency. Jesus would be waiting for them in Galilee. Go! Get his disciples. Go to Galilee. I think the angel was privy to what Jesus had already told the disciples back in Mark 14:28. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee. It was though the angel was excited for them to have this incomparable encounter with the risen Jesus. Go, tell, get up to Galilee. But this was more input than they could take in all at once. They were experiencing mental, emotional, and sensory overload. Verse 8 says, and they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Our accounts of Easter, you go to Luke also, that ends with a great big question mark. And maybe you've got a question mark about Easter today, about Jesus being alive and raised from the dead. These women were so astonished that they fled from the tomb, trembling, fearfully stunned into silence. Now, we know from Matthew's gospel that they did not stay silent because as they fled, Jesus met them. In the weeks ahead, we will discover how we too can encounter Jesus, and that will be the theme of the messages following Easter. Remember that we know the rest of the story. We have nearly 2,000 years where the resurrected Christ has encountered billions of Earth's inhabitants, radically transforming their lives. And now, by the power, by the presence of the Holy Spirit, he's living in them. Jesus said, because I live, you too will live. And I hope you've experienced the living Christ. One such person was Chad Ellis. Chad didn't believe in God or in Jesus, but his wife Chelsea wanted to raise their son in a Christian home. And when believers at Living Faith Lutheran Brethren Church in Watford City, North Dakota, reached out to them, they began to attend worship there. Week after week, Chad heard the gospel of Jesus willingly dying on a cross to become sin for us, to forgive us, and then rising again to new life. And he wondered, could this really be true? Could someone really escape death? Well, it was just a few months later that Chad found himself in a terrible accident. The front of his truck was twisted and smashed all the way to the cab. Those who witnessed the accident thought no one could have survived. But when Chad limped away from that wreck with just a few scratches and a broken right ankle, he looked back at his truck and realized God had spared him. God was giving him one more chance to believe and trust in Jesus. And right then, he placed his trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of his sins and for eternal life. He said, yes, God is real. Our encounters with Jesus may not be so dramatic, but they are nevertheless just as real. Christ wants us to meet him in his word. He wants us to meet him in the fellowship of believers. Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, he said, there I am in their midst. And so what are we to do with this great news? Well, first, we should do what the women were doing. Even in their limited understanding, they went to seek Jesus. And we should do the same, seek Jesus. As we seek Jesus, we need to do that in faith. Hebrews 11:6 teaches that without faith, it's impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. And as we seek him in faith, we will receive the comfort that God revealed to David, 3,000 years ago, that was in today's psalm. Psalm 16, verse 11 promises, you made known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. We can believe this promise with certainty because the Lord himself has made known to us the path of life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus promised this way would lead to an abundant life right now and one day into the very presence of God where there is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. We must also do what the angel commanded. Don't be alarmed. Even though we are besieged with alarming and distressing news, we know that we are held tight in the grip of our Savior. Jesus gave this promise in John 10:28 to those who follow him. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Finally, we must go and tell. There is a distressed world waiting and wanting to hear this good news. Jesus has conquered death. According to our Old Testament lesson today, he has swallowed up death forever. And the Lord will wipe away tears from all faces. The grave is open and empty. Jesus gives hope beyond the grave. And so, do not be alarmed. Jesus has overcome the world. He has conquered death. He is risen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that for us, you sent your Son, our Savior, to the cross, and he went and bore our sin on that cross. But that wasn't the end of the story. He rose to give us the powerful assurance that death is not an end, but the beginning to a whole new and glorious existence with you forever by faith in Jesus. And Lord, if there's anyone who has not encountered Jesus, has not put their faith and trust in him, may even now they cry out to you, Lord, I believe that Jesus died on the cross to forgive my sin. I believe he rose from the dead that I can have the certainty of eternal life with him. Come and fill me now with his presence, that I might live for him even now that he lives in me. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.